Yes, I. This song is called Be the Change, inspired by the words of Mahatma Gandhi, who lived for peace and not violence, and told us to be the change we wish to see in the world. Freedom's calling, I feel the fire that's deep inside us. Everybody wants change, but tell me who will guide us. To the leaders that pass away, put up your lighters. It's a beautiful struggle, but it cannot divide us. We're the ones that we've always been waiting for. See yourself in the mirror and open up the door. Walk through it and feel the love throughout your pores. Be the light, life's purpose is to feel joy. Metaphysical, lyrical, standing up for truth. The only one to make change is walking in your shoes. Be the example, don't complain about the news. Making music and serving the world with the loo. Now you can be the same, or you can be the change. Find strength from inside, break through the chains. No one to blame, nothing to prove. You create your reality, it's up to you. Be the change
that you wanna see in the world. Like God, need live for peace.
Aspire to be.
Some of the fights for the beliefs, like Martin Luther King.
Aspire to be.
That love,
that light,
like Christ.
This life
for the moment in need.
And if you believe
in Jehovah,
Allah,
Buddha,
Krishna,
it's love to me.
My soul yearns for peace. World
that's
flooded with war. History's
littered
with body
scars. Whoa, boy, guys, I'll tell you what. I woke up this morning and I see other people washing their potatoes. And I am just getting excited watching this 100th monkey spread across this planet. People waking up everywhere I go. And the people like the guests that we have on tonight are really helping this to be a smooth and energetic and just optimistic and amazing transition that we're going through into this new paradigm. You're listening to the 100th Monkey Radio with Tom and Ramon. Ramon, what's been going on, bud?
A lot of things have been going on. Let's see. So my book should be out soon. Actually, it's out on Kindle. And it's called Scratching the Cosmic Conscious. In book form, I just got the proof copy, so I need to change some little mistakes. So that should be out in 1 week when this airs.
Yay!
And don't forget, you can find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Just scroll down and you'll see all the links to it. Let's see. On the news tip really quick, I saw something for easy homemade remedies for arthritis and joint pains. Let's see, former NASA employee goes public. I'll take a look at that. And the fuel-free generator link.
There's a couple of them. You know, I had a guy, one of my YouTube listeners, sent me a link to this website back east that's actually selling something. They don't, on the website, they don't actually tell you how they're getting the energy, but it's a standalone system that's supposed to run. So they said the service time is 18 to 20 years. Fuel free. I don't know what the technology is, but I've sent some emails to them to see if I can't get some more information.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think it runs like for a, I think it's a 10 kW to 10 to 10 kW spike to 20 system, which would run any damn near any house out there, unless you're living in some, you know, 15,000 square foot mansion. You know, you might need a little bit more than that, but this thing's supposed to run the whole place 24/365. So. I'm curious, and this has been on the market for, looked like they'd had this site up for a while. So I don't know. I'm going to check into it. Maybe this is something that's been out there kind of, you know, under the radar for a while. So, I don't know. I'll keep everybody posted and see what I find out about it. It's a little spendy. It's like, it was like, oh, I can't remember what the price, 30, 36 grand or something like that for a home unit. But if it's a, if it does what it says it does, I mean, 36 grand, I mean, how long does it take to pay that in electric bills? And you'll be off the grid. So, anyways, we'll definitely look into that. And the show we did, last week with John Searle, that technology is absolutely amazing. They made some progress. They've got another video out on some of the progress they made here just recently, magnetizing one of the rings for the SEG. So that's some pretty interesting stuff, guys. Take a look at that stuff.
Yeah. The music you just listened to is by the Illuminaries, and it's called Be the Change. So I thought that song would be perfect for our guests. And Tom, who's the beautiful guest we have coming on?
Oh, we have Lisa Renee, and she is experienced a spontaneous Kundalini event several years ago that catalyzed a starseed awakening to perceive multidimensional realities and communication with the evolutionary forces of light. Lisa Renee has also been personally prepared, trained, and downloaded by interdimensional beings known as the Melchizedek Guardians through her Council of 12, known to her as the Syrian High Council. Guided by a spiritual hierarchy, Lisa was trained and downloaded to comprehend the science of ascension and its dynamics upon the layers of energy fields. This understanding of spirit technologies was experienced by her own personal conscious evolution and began her transition into a spiritual guide and multidimensional energetic healer during this planet's ascension cycle. She is a galactic emissary for the Guardians and a spokesperson for the shift of humanity to ascension. Welcome to the 100th Monkey, Lisa. We are so happy to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Tom and Ramon. Wow, it was interesting listening to that. I haven't heard that. So kind of as an observer listening to that, it was an interesting experience because, you know, going through the living this as a state of being every day, but actually hearing that and wondering how listeners actually connect to that. Like, what does that mean? What has happened to that woman? So I hope that you feel free to ask me any questions to really go deep and understand that experience, because it's an experience we all can have, you know, again, in connecting to, you know, higher intelligence and consciousness and, you know, finding the different ways to apply that while we're here as human. You know, it's very helpful, especially now.
Absolutely.
Well, here's a question that's probably most people who have these experiences. How did your family react to this? Did you ever tell them, or is just?
That's a great question, and I think that this is one of the things that it's important to be really honest in sharing. You know, and certainly I'm passionate about is why I've created a community really for this purpose, so that people can speak about their awakening experience or their Kundalini experience or their experience with extraterrestrial intelligence, whether they've been abducted or contacted or visited, because we need to dispel the mysterious and stop getting with the woo-woo and being scared of the unknown and really sharing it and understanding this phenomena absolutely exists and is happening to millions of human beings on the planet now. And the very first thing that happens, just like you, the perfect question that you ask, is that the people around you that don't have a context, like your family, your biological family, it scares them. They don't understand what's happening. And if you don't understand what's happening and you don't have communication skills to try to help to describe your experience from a place that doesn't sound threatening or scary, you know, everybody feels at odds with each other. And what I notice in my situation is that my family felt very hurt because they perceived me pulling away from them in a way they didn't understand. And so a lot of us that go through awakening or spiritual ascension or being completely flattened and dismantled in order to evolve into their higher identity, into their true essence. And you have to know what that is first, and you have to experience it yourself. And then once you do get that clarity, you can then communicate that experience to your loved ones and to others. And that's exactly what I did with my family, who in the beginning, because they have a Catholic base of their perspective, was more like spiritual, had religious overtones, which to me, of course, is not even close to the same thing. But it was the only thing they could describe what was happening. So my family was afraid that I was undergoing some deep clinical depression. They didn't understand, when in actuality I was having a Kundalini awakening. And because I did have the blessing of direct contact with my guides, who in most cases at that time were not human, meaning they were extraterrestrial forms, they were very clear about, you know, you need to sequester yourself and integrate this, you know, slowly, you know, integrate this into your own awareness, because we all go through self-doubt, like, am I going crazy? What's happening to me? You know, because again, prior to this, I was a tax accountant and, you know, appeared to be a contributing member of that 3D structure. And all of a sudden, my complete perception of reality and my orientation here is changing. And that really scared my family. They didn't know what was happening to me. So after a couple years, it took me about 2.5 years to really be clear, okay, I have been contacted by extraterrestrials. I'm going to have to find a way to explain what is happening to me, hopefully to the people that love me, and they will care for me and love me enough to embrace me rather than reject me in that experience. And I had to trust that. And there was a point where my guide said, Lisa, it's time. You need to address the family. And I was like, please, I don't want it. What am I going to say? How am I going to say it? And it was like, it was time. So the wisdom is in knowing timing. You know, there's a time and place for everything. Sometimes you have to set back and allow the space to be created. And so when it was time, I went, and it had been about 2.5 years. They had not seen me. And I said, you know, to them, please, I know you're upset at me. I know you don't understand. I know I hurt your feelings, but I need you to please just listen to me and don't say anything until I am done. And I was completely honest and just put it all out on the table. And 2 hours later, they looked at me like, you know, it took a while for them to kind of sink in with it. And I think in this case, because my father, coming from his Catholic background, was so skeptical, he needed a demonstration. So after all of that discussion and I'm pouring my heart out, my dad looks at me and goes, so can you heal my back? Like, if this is true, can you heal my back, right? So I said, I don't know, you know, and I proceeded to put my hands on his back, of which he was instantly healed. And that wasn't something you know, happens all the time. But I know that what that was a God-given blessing.
Right.
Because my parents needed something. You know, they just, whatever she's telling us, we can't really, you know, hold on to. They needed some kind of demonstration, and that blessing was given. And I knew that, again, it was impersonal to the healing of my dad's back, but it was something that allowed him to experience a tangible event that proved something happened to Lisa.
Right, right.
That my daughter's not crazy, yeah.
Yes, right. Exactly.
So I want to go a little bit into the first contact.
Well, can we start with the Kundalini experience?
Yeah.
Now, what prior to having this experience, had you been seeking?
No, not at all. Not at all. That was what was interesting about it. It seems, looking back, that my personal path has been literally trial by fire, meaning I have not had physical guides, meaning someone here in the physical to guide me, to talk to me, to develop meditation. All of that has happened with interdimensional extraterrestrial guidance. And I've learned reasons for that. But at that particular point in time, even though I was very spiritually motivated, my life had been a series of events that was constantly traumatizing. And in the 3D world, it was like I was always dealing with shock and trauma and things on the external level. So as an example, you know, I'd gotten married, and right after I got married, my husband got very sick. So my whole life became I'm the caretaker to my husband, you know, hoping that he's going to get well, and that took all of my time and energy. And when that particular relationship had come to completion, that was when I went through the spiritual initiation process that's known as the dark night of the soul, where everything in your life crumbles. You lose, you know, it feels like at the time you're losing all of the aspects of your life, anything that defined your identity. And in my case, that was my job, my marriage, you know, my life, my friends, everything that was around me just crumbled and was gone. And you're looking at the ruins of your life going, oh my God, you know, what is happening? And in the dismantling process of that dark night, I started to have Kundalini. And Kundalini at this level, without training, without really developed mind to direct the energetic flow, it's very painful. So for me, I understood something spiritual was happening to me. I had always prayed to God and anyone that would listen. And since a small child, I had these ideas that were coming to me, and I always felt very alienated on this planet. Like I knew something was very different about me. And from the time I was six, there was this verbiage in my brain, I'm a freedom fighter, I've come here for this, you know, and I'm like, what is that? Like, what does that mean? And if, you know, it was hard to have a context for that, having been with me so long. And I just saw the world in a very different way than the people around me. So that was always there, but the developed, like, understanding of starseeds and extraterrestrials and Kundalini, absolutely, there was no foray into that. I was just trying to survive my life, which was just like one karmic overload after the next. Mm-hmm. Finally, when the Kundalini went off, that was very much like feeling like you're being plugged into an electrical socket. I did not experience blissful states, and that was because, you know, the Kundalini is a purifier, and it starts moving up the central column, and when it hits blocks, it's very painful. So the second chakra block was brutal from all the inner child work that I had not done at that point, because again, I didn't know, right, what was really happening to me. And so at that time, you know, it was very difficult because I ended up losing my hair. All my hair fell out. My face was just covered with like cysts and acne. It was like my whole body was in a state of detoxification, and it was really quite devastating. And so this is again, another reason why I really want to be honest about sharing that experience, because when you do have tools and understanding, that does not have to happen to you. It was because I didn't know how to handle the fire in my body that was raging. And I could literally see it and feel it, you know, coming out of my palms, out of my head, out of my body. I didn't want to put clothes on because I was miserable. It just was so painful to be in the physical body and to have anything touching you. And I had a joke, you know, now I know what Buddha felt like, why he's naked all the time, because you don't want to put clothes on when you're this raging fireball. And so it took me a few, I would say it probably in the first year, it was really, I was in physical misery. And then there was a healer that actually helped me to draw the Kundalini up through my crown. And after that, I really experienced relief. And then the subsequent Kundalini releases were much easier on my physical person. But the initial one was really quite difficult.
Hmm. Wow. Talk about getting hit with the proverbial Mack truck.
Yes, yeah. That has been my path. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. It has not been subtle. It has been like 2x4 across the head. Here it is. Yeah. And the good news about that I have really learned to appreciate, because the book of Lisa's life as a person sounds like something out of a Jerry Springer television show. You know, it is so out It is so out there. And when I looked at that, I really understood that in order to come into a balanced integration with yourself as a human and as a spiritually infused being, and to be that here now, it requires experience in the physical plane. And these experiences, although extreme and had been really devastating at the time, I didn't have context, gave me the direct experience that really was of value for me now. And I can see that the level of my ability to go as far out as I do in let's say cosmic consciousness, you know, because I really don't have a human life anymore, you know, at a 3D level, like what people would think is a human life, I don't have that anymore. And yet I tolerate and work within the parameters of the structure I've been given, but I'm not here. I'm here and not here.
I understand that fully.
And yes, and you have to, if there's a certain level of integration in embodying your core that is necessary, because if you do have Kundalini go off or you are catapulted out of your body, this is not a productive thing. You can have psychotic breaks. You can have possessions of your body. You can have forces inhabit your body. This is not a good thing. So this is why, you know, taking it slow is generally, I think, a much more, you know, productive path for most. But because of my contracts with why I've incarnated on the earth, there was definitely a fast track. And I'm also a walk-in. So during this time I was having Kundalini, I found out later that that just wasn't ascension, that what I was going through was a walk-in process. And so that added an extra element of, I think, austerity and severity to what was happening to my body as my body was attempting to, you know, reconcile that change in a very quick amount of period of time. You know, I didn't have a lot of integration time. It's just like it came in, there it is, you know. And again, that it, to make sure that this is clear, this is an aspect of my soul that walked into my body. So this is not a foreign entity. This is a part of me that has merged with my physical in this dimension. And that's important to understand, that there are the phenomena of possession and there are the phenomena of walk-in, and they are absolutely different on the polar ends of what's happening on the planet at this time.
You're definitely plugged in right now, because I asked that question right before you in my mind. I was going to break in and ask you to elaborate on the walk-in, and you automatically did it. So, yeah, definitely plugged in.
Well, yeah. It is. I think it is important to discuss that, because, you know, all I can say is that before I do talk about the phenomenon of walking in possession, is that it's very clear that my job with the planet and the mission that I have accepted has taken me into some very difficult and painful territory of which to attempt to give human words to describe, which I find can be very controversial because it's highly misunderstood and it can be highly taken out of context without understanding the larger picture. And that is, of course, that even though we are all a part of the Godhead and connected into oneness, at this level of where this planet exists, which is one of the densest places within the quadrants of the nested universes, we do have some issues here. And that issue is that we have beings that exist both as an entity and a force and in extraterrestrial and human forms that are, in a sense, sociopathic, meaning they don't have sensory ability, they don't have emotional development, and therefore they do not have spiritual development, and they have become extremely parasitic and vampiric to this planet, and it's creating a lot of problems with the quantic field of the Earth, and then therefore the soul and the energy and life force of the beings that exist here. So an understanding that these forces exist, I think, is very important, because there is sort of this misnomer that polarity does not exist. And I think that's a very dangerous thought form, because here it is relative to understand that we all have polarized forces at work that are duking it out in the physical. And so we have these forces that are playing out that agenda on the planet, and therefore being informed allows us to make a better choice about where our priorities lie and who our authority is, meaning is our authority God's source and oneness and, you know, all that is in supporting human life and human development, or is it anti-life and anti-human, which is really what this other force represents as a vampire and a parasite of others because it needs others to exist. So that's the shift we're undergoing at this time, is moving from consumptive modeling of being a parasite, which means you need a host of which to exist upon, which is what this type of force is, and then coming into the inner sustainable force of your own spirit, which allows you to be sustained from the inside, and you don't need to feed on the external reality in order to siphon energy from others, in order to manifest, or in order to have a creative reality, which is what's happened here.
Right.
So the spirit, when we think about God and we think of spirit, the spirit is very complex in that there is a oneness of interconnected parts, but because as a part of oneness, we fragmented ourselves into different times and spaces and densities of which to have multiple experiences all simultaneously. So it's like saying we are a part of this cosmic family that ultimately all connect into the oneness, but parts of us have gotten trapped in certain dimensions of time or fragmented. And that happens when the soul or the spirit is shocked and traumatized at levels where it has split apart. So, like, as an example, dropping an atomic bomb and incinerating bodies also has a impact and influence on the soul body. And this is not something that many people understand in terms of energy. You know what I mean? That everything is about physics and movement of energy. So when somebody actually leaves their body and it's extremely shocking and traumatized, this can stunt and damage the soul fiber. And the soul and the spirit and the consciousness of that being exists in that shattered space. And in many times they are unable in that shattered space to know how to evolve or to heal themselves from that point that they exist in the time field. So a lot of the intervention coming in, such as these walk-ins, which are a multitude of variations, we have beings that are dropping into bodies in here that have never been in this universe. We have beings that have volunteered from other planets to come here to help with the ascension process and to help to free some of the souls that are trapped in these different levels. And again, the trapping comes from severe trauma and severe degeneration of the body, because again, a person takes their consciousness at the level they vibrate when they leave their body. When we leave our body, we don't automatically just become omniscient. We become joined with a part of ourself that exists at the next vibratory frequency. So if you are, you know, in guilt and shame and in terror, or you're incinerated by a bomb and you don't know what hit you, sometimes there is a display of beings that get stuck into certain spaces. And the guardian consciousness, the guardian beings, call this the phantom spaces. These are dead spaces where people are stuck. So a lot of what the guardian force is, which is also known as the crystal or Christ consciousness, is to come here and free those souls that are stuck in those spaces and to make sure that they too can leave and move and evolve into the next series of evolutionary events. So for myself, at age 33, the walk-in process of my extraterrestrial soul body, soul matrix, which was a six-dimensional being that was a part of the Sirian constellation, walked into my body. Now, at the time, I did not understand all of that, and probably because mentally and emotionally, my human was not able to absorb that yet. There was a lot of training and a lot of contact and a lot of etheric surgery to get my body able to hold the frequency and what I would be doing in the future, which, you know, of course, was not given to me at that time. You know, they don't tell you exactly what you're here to do, and there's a lot of reasons for that. You have to experience it and go through the organic growth process yourself in order to truly understand the experience of what is happening with you also in terms right. of this embodiment. So at the time, I thought I knew I was going through a spiritual something. But I did not find out until obviously my guardians believed that I could handle it. You know what I mean? Because they gave me a lot of information in chunks. And, you know, and then I would have to digest it. And, you know, honestly, it was so far removed from what we are told here. You know, you have to stop and digest and go, wait a minute. Okay, is this sane? Is this, you know, how do I feel about this? And one of the, let's say, major bits of information such as this is I remember I had a really strong reaction when they told me that the figure that is known as Jesus Christ was not from here, was an extraterrestrial, you know, and it was like, wait a minute, you know, I had to wrap my brain around what does that mean, you know, yeah. and kind of, okay, well, I think let's address that later, you know, because you really need to, again, have the time to process it. And in my own way, I'm very scientifically minded, and that has really been successful for me, is that I would just take it without reacting and just go, okay, I don't know how I feel about this, but I'm going to do 1 + 1 and see if that equals 2. And if I do this action and it gets this result and it's consistent, let's see if we can prove it out that way. And that has really been how I have developed the direct link of communication with the team of guides, of which there's quite a few at this point, and been able to identify their energy signatures and the information as it's intelligently provided, because it's not written in English. You know what I mean? They don't. Right. You don't just get a missive, you know, in an email saying whatever. A lot of the time, what it is a syntax. It's like a code or a symbolism with a syntax. And you'll see it, like you receive an email, you know, and there'll be a symbol or there'll be one word. Like as an example, when they sent me to Egypt for grid work, I got an email in my consciousness and the email was titled Zoser, you know. And so when I opened Zoser, I got a ton of information about it. But it's not linear. It's almost like a spiral level of an energy packet that's literally assimilated and absorbed in your consciousness energy, in your auric field, and then all of a sudden you have a knowing of all this information that you didn't previously know.
Right.
And that's a lot. That is how I get the information. It's through remote viewing, through session work. You know, since this happened, I began that shift from tax accountant to quantic energy healer. And, you know, up to this point that I am now with managing a web community and doing monthly meditations and being responsible for reporting what they call as the Ascension Bee timeline, which is what my newsletters are. So that is what my job description has moved into over the last 10 or 12 years. But in the earlier stages, I had a lot of information and a lot of integration work that I had to do. And I was taken through very specific training that, amazingly enough, is not unlike kind of military training, because the training was very much about discipline mentally and emotionally, and understanding that if I'm not mentally and emotionally disciplined, that I put my team members at risk. I don't have the luxury of having a meltdown or, you know, a fit or a tantrum or attacking somebody, because in the sense of doing that, what I do if I lose it is I put my team members at risk.
Right.
And that really had me grow up fast. That was a level of spiritual maturity I had to understand, that this is way beyond this little being named Lisa. You know, there's a whole network of beings that are risking their butts to be here also, because I said I would do it. And that really, again, so the respect and the love I have is that certain for this group is certainly I'm not alone and none of us are, but also understanding that the responsibility is really high and the stress is extremely high. And I think that's why not a lot of people choose to do this, because it is a very difficult job.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is. It definitely is. So what was that? What was that first contact experience like for you?
Well, I think I, you know, what was interesting for me is that they were not foreign to me. So there was an immediate recognition, which is really curious, right? Because I didn't think of myself at that time as, you know, extraterrestrial or anything. And here's all these people that are showing up that are not in human forms that I love dearly and miss dearly and think of them as my real family, right? So it was such a weird situation because it was an immediate knowing without any logic behind it. You know, it was a feeling of immediate love and like relief, like, thank God you're finally here.
Right.
Even though that was not something I had said 5 minutes previous, you know what I mean?
Right,
until
right.
It happened, but it was an immediate love and recognition and an aha moment. And I also noted that when I had the contact, my heart healed immediately, meaning I didn't realize my sadness and my depression that I had as a child was this pain and aching in my heart. And when I met them and saw them again, it was immediately gone. And that was such an amazing blessing too. It was like I understood that pain that I had in my heart, where it was from, was a part of missing them.
Hmm.
So did it happen at your house or?
Yes. Yes. At that time I was really sequestered, and that is a pattern for me. You know, there's kind of a joke for those of us in the ascension path, you know, when we're going through light body integrations and frequency integrations, you know, you're in your bathrobe on the floor, you know,
right.
Integrating. And so at that time, yeah, I was very isolated. You know, my relationships, friends, everything was taken out. It was like it was all removed, and I just went into a cave and germinated. It was like I was molting, you know?
Right.
And at that time, you know, I was so thirsty for knowledge. I just hunted day and night. You know, I was meditating, hanging out with them, going on the internet, you know, constantly the thirst, like I have to know more, I have to know more. What's happening to me? And, you know, it took me a long while also to really understand there's a lot of people having these experiences, but not this kind of direct contact. And when I started to think, oh, gee, you know, like let's talk to some of the spiritual people, I was really shocked at how hard I would be attacked and how harshly I was treated. It was like, wow, if this group is supposed to be the evolved group, I don't know where I'm supposed to fit on this planet, because I was really surprised that the people in, you know, the sort of the general kind of new age were really not accepting of this experience at all, which.
Oh, hello. Well, looks like we had a little bit of a, some in interference here of some kind that dropped us all out of here. We were talking about the
spirit. These probably touched their nerve.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah. Well, we're here and we're not going to stop. So you might.
That's good news.
Yeah. So we were talking about the spiritual community and how well they took to you and your information.
Yes. Well, I think, you know, it's just understanding, you know, the different levels and fields of awareness that, you know, beings on the planet, to really be able to use discernment in reading energy signatures. And again, this is very different than judgment. It's understanding where people are sourcing from. And one thing that I have noticed is that if you are still polarized in your mental body at the ego level, it's extremely difficult for that person to get beyond the intellectual beliefs that keep them in a certain framework of understanding.
Right.
Because this experience that I'm describing, you cannot use your intellect to fight your way out of a paper bag. If you do, you will be devastated because this is not logical. It is not linear. You know, there is not a scientist at this time that has the technology to empirically quantify what has happened.
No.
So because of that, they're immediately just going to label you as insane. You know, it's, you know, brain chemistry. You think you're having this experience, but you're really not, you know.
Right.
And that's, again, unfortunate that that is a massive suppression program that's on the planet at this time. And it's based in fear because we're in terror of what we do not know.
Right. The spiritual community on the whole, I mean, I've seen so much superficial. I mean, they're there because I don't know. Maybe there's something inside them that is looking for these things, but I've noticed that they're just so, I don't know, shallow. Is that the right word?
There's so
many people in that I've met through those things just have, I don't know. I guess it's the neat thing to do.
Yeah.
I think on some levels, yeah, there's a trendy part of it, you know, like say, you know, the yoga rock star phenomena, right? It's so bizarre. I know. It's like, what is that? Oh my God. But at the same time, you know, I think what happens is that intrinsically at our core as a human being, there is something happening on this planet that each one of us at our own time and pace is going to have to develop some level of maturity to really connect with our human being. Because what's happening on the planet is not human. You know, it's not pro-human. We're not doing things that really support and maximize the creative expression of a human being. We do everything we can to suppress humans, to enslave them through the economic and social structures, to educate them, you know, into memorization and repetition, and to be told what to do by whatever megalomaniac decides, you know, to put a law on whatever, you know. And unfortunately, that's the structure that we're working with. And you know, my personal feeling is there's nothing productive in fighting against it. The change begins within us, and that's the only place we can start, is to focus inside and commit to our own spirit and our own person. And I think that takes some self-love. You know, you have to care about yourself or be motivated by some external force to take you out of what I call spiritual apathy, because a lot of people that spiritually bypass their true identity, you know, they get attracted to the seduction and the charisma of the second chakra that is really working it in sort of the new age and spiritual communities. And it's all about, you know, you can create your reality, and it's all about the secret, and you can attract what you want, and you know, you can have that cute girlfriend or boyfriend, or you can have the car you want, and all of that is completely taking you away from what truly matters inside, in allowing your higher identity and spiritual self to merge you with your highest expression and path. And it takes some, you know, dismantling and unplugging out of the matrix, if you will. And a lot of people are scared to do that. And I understand why. I really do, because it is very difficult
to face what is
required. You know what I mean? It's not easy to do this work, you know, because all of a sudden you become committed to your spiritual path, and you're not listening to human order anymore, and you're not giving that your authority and power. And all of a sudden people look at you, you know, who are you? Why are you doing this? And you become a threat to the order of humanity in its very unhealthy, destructive state that it's in. And then what was really hard for me in the beginning to understand that I, by choosing this and agreeing to bring this work through on the planet at this time, that I would be mercilessly attacked by not only negative aliens, but the humans here that don't understand my job or what I'm doing, also formulate all kinds of strange perceptions and projections and manipulations about what they think I'm doing. And basically, none of it is an accurate assessment of the true reality of what is happening. And so that is when people are not clear in themselves. You know, when you do not know your own identity and you're not clear in your own core, you let external forces control you. And we've got that rampant problem on the planet at this time. And, you know, it's really creating some unstable and chaotic energies in people, which I have a lot of compassion for, because I see so many people that feel like their lives are being ripped apart and they don't understand why, and they don't have the tools of which to handle what's happening to them.
Right. And the tools are not really put out there.
No, they're not.
I mean, you have to actually, most people don't even know they're there in the first place, but you, to find them, you have to dig.
Yes, you do.
Have to dig, and discernment is huge, because when you start digging, there is so many distractions on that path.
Yes, it's very true. And lots of misinformation and half truths. Yes. You know, it's very much like religion, you know, and this is what has happened with the sort of trickster and sort of dark force energy and creating slaves down here. You know, they create a glimmer of truth and they wrap it into something pretty, but it's completely convoluted and distorted, and that discernment is not present. And again, it's not, once you learn to develop some of your sensory abilities and you pay attention to your energy and your body. I mean, again, this is a lot of the work with the community that I do, is developing, you know, meditative techniques and ways to discipline your mind, discipline your emotions, take responsibility and accountability for your actions, behaviors. Where you place your attention is what is. And so if you place your attention in a sociopathic structure of impermanence, you're giving your consciousness to that. And that means your consciousness, then all of your energy is going towards that, which is really not productive. In fact, it's quite destructive to the spirit and to the soul. So finding that within your heart, you know, finding buried underneath all of the mud suit, you know, the stuff that we wear, the stuff that we've been told, you know, it takes a little work. And so I do understand the resistance to the discipline of that. And it's true, you know, in the last 10 or 12 years on this path, as someone that has been thrust into a sort of reluctant leadership position, because let me tell you, it's not really something I prefer to do, but I have to show up at the best capacity I'm able in what I am given at the moment. And it just sort of naturally happened. And here I am. And I have to recognize that we're beyond the guru teacher paradigm, and we need to really help people become the guru within and empower themselves. But at the same time, I recognize I have an influence in the world. I have an influence among people, even though I tell people you have to empower yourself. You have to do the research yourself. You have to learn how to personally discern what is right for your path and not listen to what anybody is telling you, actually. You know, you gather information and you integrate it in a level that it becomes your own vibrational truth. You verify it. It feels right for you. And you just keep following those breadcrumbs until a cohesive picture becomes very clear. And you can feel it on your own. You don't have to listen to somebody saying, you know, look, you know, there's extraterrestrials here on this planet. You know, you will know it for yourself. You don't have to listen to somebody else. And so the path of knowing requires direct experience, and you can't intellectually get that. You can't read a book. You can't, you know, and actually absorb that. So in the beginning stages of awakening, we do that. We collect information. We, you know, listen to people and read books and develop ourselves at whatever level. But there comes a certain time where you take a little bit of all of that research or all of that information through your own life experience, and you synthesize that into something that feels right for you. And that's why the spiritual path and awakening path is so hard, because there isn't one recipe that fits everybody.
Right.
You know, each person, it's up to you to do it. And that means, okay, now I have to be responsible for myself. I have to dedicate time to this. And meanwhile, we have a system that's enslaving you, distracting you, you know, come over here, buy this, go there. You know what I'm saying? And so the external distractions are an all-time high. And that's no accident, you know, because if you keep getting pulled on the outside or you're in survival mode all the time, it's really hard to feel that quiet calm that's necessary to really connect inside.
Right.
Because when you're, you know, in chaos and you're freaked out and, you know, you're scared, that doesn't really set the most, you know, productive circumstances for feeling blissful and calm and connected to your spirit. And that is, of course, a propagated agenda here, without a doubt. There's no doubt in me that that is going on very aggressively for a reason, because we are here in 2012, and we have a five-year window where there's a really wide window that allows an access to have quantum leaps in consciousness. And so you have an agenda on the other side that is really not wanting that to happen, because once a human starts becoming empowered and realizing the freedom inherent in your relationship with your spiritual self or your God self, whatever you call that higher power within you, you start to be freed of the constructs of manipulation, control, mind control, brainwashing. Because when somebody's talking to you, you can feel that the words have an energetic meaning that give you a lot more information than the flat, one-dimensional semantic of what you're reading or listening, you know? And so that happens a lot, let's say, with me, where someone can send me an email or can send me, you know, a written missive or something, and I can feel the energy behind it. The written words may say something, but the energy behind it can be very different. And right. Once you're able to sense that, that's extremely empowering to you for your discernment.
Right, right. You know, I find it absolutely amazing that the souls that are here have been able to do as much as we've been able to do, given the circumstances that we're in. I mean,
it's true.
Look at it. I mean, the structure that we're under is it's domineering, and I'm just in total awe of the life that is here and the persistence that it has to grow.
Yes.
I mean, it is growing, and you know, I'm so optimistic about our future. The second hour here, we definitely want to go into we're in 2012 now. This is the year that everybody's been talking about, and we're in that era that everybody's been talking about. We're definitely going to jump into a lot of what you see going on now in this momentous time. I don't want to use the word biblical, but boy, I'll tell you what, if there's ever going to be a book written about something that happened to our, there's going to have to be something written about this time that we're in.
Yeah,
that's your job, Tom. How much time we have, Tom?
We've got about 5 minutes.
Oh, 5 minutes. Well, I guess I'll save that question for the next hour. But Lisa, where can people find your stuff, and are you doing anything?
Well, currently, yeah. So right now, in terms of the body of work of stewardship, is a body of work called Energetic Synthesis, which is a web community container. And so within the web membership at this time, it's being used as an energetic container to put all of the content, all of the archives. So all of our monthly classes are stored there, all of the meditations. What the guardians do is they bring in a snapshot of what's happening within a current month's time, and then they'll give meditation to help work on clearing that particular issue or block that may happen because of those frequencies coming in. So the archives, and again, the forum community, there's lots of ascension tools, lots of meditations and classes. And again, a community of really loving and incredible people that are there to kind of share and support each other with that ascension and awakening language. So that's energeticsynthesis.com. And yes, and then so most of the other information is, you know, free. The podcast for the monthly news is on the front page. There's a lot of video that's on the YouTube channel of Energetic Synthesis. And after August, there is a prototype project being brought in through the Guardians that will be released to the public at the end of the year. And that will, again, change the direction of a lot of this information. But right now, it's still in a prototyping state. And so, again, lots to come towards August and beyond.
Mm. So are you speaking anywhere this year? Any appearances?
Well, for me, this is really the beginning of the kickoff. Last year, we had an end in the architecture of the timeline cycle of our planet on October 28th. And on that day, to be honest with you, I got extremely ill. You know, it was like a processing. And after that, my guide said, okay, you're not doing sessions anymore. We need you to sit here. And so I was germinating for about 60 days. And then they gave me a massive, humongous project to work on. And so I have definitely been in sequester, but now this is the nudge. And they're starting to say, okay, it's now time to, you know, start becoming more available and do that. So as this project completes itself, the workshops and things will dictate what is needed. But again, my life is not any kind of pre-plan. It happens in the moment and very spontaneous, where it's like, okay, be here, be there, you know, and it's in the moment. So that's kind of how it works at this point for me.
I like the way you put that. The project, as the project completes itself.
Yes.
I love that. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Love that. That's definitely that's something divinely guided. I just got that. So,
thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Very much.
You know, it's funny, Lisa. It's just recently I started getting. I was asking Tom, like, we should get Lisa on the show, and it was just like, it's just something that I started feeling like, oh, we should get her on the show.
So well, it's funny how that works. It's perfect timing, and this is the first show I've done in maybe 6 months. So I definitely got a thump on the head, like thump, thump, like do this. I'm like, all righty then, because tomorrow I'm leaving at the crack of dawn somewhere. So, I mean, the timing is always really interesting. Mm-hmm. But the good news, the blessing I have is I am unbelievably connected to a source of love that it is just indescribable. And to be here as a human and to have that direct experience every day, I indeed know I'm blessed. And that is really what propels me to do some of the work that no one really wants to do, which is the nasty stuff. Look at the dark stuff. Look at the enslavement. Look at how it's being done in the architecture, and looking on how to change that and empower people to be free and sovereign and to rediscover themselves as divine beings also.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the Lightworkers Manifesto right there.
Yes, it is.
There you go. Okay, well, we are at the top of the hour, so I want to thank everybody for listening. And as soon as you get done listening to Dr. Brooks Agnew after us here on BBS, I would invite you over to the100thmonkeyradio.com and listen to hour two or however long we end up talking. So, oh, love you guys. Condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance.
The love you deny is the pain you carry.
Yeah.
I love that one. Thanks to Alex.
Yeah.
And also, definitely. I want to say hi to Brooks Agnew, who's my Syrian bro. Big hug to Mr. Brooks.
Oh,
he's one of my happy guys.
All right. We'll see you guys in the second hour.
Okay.
Krishnaya te namah.
Yes, I. This song is called Be the Change, inspired by the words of Mahatma Gandhi, who lived for peace and not violence, and told us to be the change we wish to see in the world.
freedom's calling, I feel the fire that's deep inside us. Everybody wants change, but tell me who will guide us. To the leaders that pass away, put up your lighters. It's a beautiful struggle, but it cannot divide us. We're the ones that we've always been waiting for. See yourself in the mirror and open up the door. Walk through it and feel the love throughout your pores. Be the light, life's purpose is to feel joy. Metaphysical, lyrical, standing up for truth. The only one to make change is walking in your shoes. Be the example, don't complain about the news. Making music and serving the world with the loo. Now you can be the same, or you can be the change. Find strength from inside, break through the chains. No one to blame, nothing to prove. You create your reality, it's up to you.
Be the change that you wanna see in the world. Like Gandhi lived for peace,
aspire to peace.
Someone who fights for the beliefs like Martin Luther King,
aspire to be
that love,
that light,
like Christ,
light
for the moment in need.
And if you believe
in Jehovah,
Allah,
Buddha,
Krishna,
it's love to me.
My soul yearns for peace in a world that's flooded with war. History's littered with body scars, trying to settle the score. To maintain an archaic platform of power and greed. People fight for land out of survival and need. So I'm killing my television and I'm planting a seed. To fill my head with knowledge that I'm seeing receive. Due to the media.